I've mentioned it to my family, but in terms of telling people like, oh yeah, we're doing this, I'm looking for projects, you got anything? I'm not there yet because it scares the shit out of me.
Dreaming of launching your own architecture firm? Well, buckle up for a wild ride with Emerging, the podcast that shares what it's really like to start an architecture firm.
Where do we begin? We don't even know what type of business to formalize as. Is it an LLC? Is it an LLP? Like, how are taxes? I mean, the list is astronomical.
Season 1 featured founders Jeffrey, Lexi, and Chris, owners of Level Studio Architecture, are your fearless guides on this unfiltered journey from napkin sketches to a thriving studio.
One evening, stumbled into one last dive, we sat at the bar and pondered our postgraduate futures. Amidst the conversation, a napkin became the canvas for our aspirations, sketching plans and milestones, sealing our heartfelt commitment and shared dreams.
In drawing down dreams on a napkin collectively, that then, you know, in your head, you've rooted like, oh, I'm connected to these people, like, long term.
The process of starting an architecture practice brims with excitement and challenges, demanding meticulous planning, flawless execution, and unyielding resilience.
I kind of hate the term because it's so overly used, but I think everybody knows imposter syndrome. And I think it's so real to this day. I don't know if it's with everybody, but with me, I'm always questioning like, us, can we do this? Are we ready to do this? Are we prepared? Can we do it?
Did we just decide a name?
We did it, guys.
Oh my
God. That came out of nowhere.
Woo! It came out of nowhere. I liked it. I saw it.
Ready to turn your aspirations into reality? Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Emerging and chart your own path to architectural success.
This is the Entree Architect Podcast, episode 90. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. One of my favorite parts of running things here at Entree Architect is that I get to speak with people who are thinking outside the box, people who are coloring outside the lines, people who have new, innovative ideas and have jumped in with both feet, making things happen. They're taking their ideas, developing plans, and making progress one small step at a time. This week on the Entree Architect Podcast, I've invited Jeremy Waylu, a partner at Delve Design and the winner of the 2015 Charette Venture Group Architecture Business Plan Competition, to come and talk to us about innovation and the practice of architecture. This episode of the Entree Architect Podcast is sponsored by Archisnapper. Learn more at entrearchitect.com/archisnapper. Jeremy Waylu, welcome to the Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. You are the partner of Delve Design, and you are the winner of the 2015 Architecture Business Plan Competition. Well, you and your partners, the firm Delve Design. It's D-E-L-V, no E at the end of Delve Design. We can maybe talk about that a little bit later, why that
sure.
is. So it's delvedesign.com if anybody's interested in checking out their website. We met back in June when you won that competition. I'm a jury member for that competition with Charette Venture Group. If anybody's interested in learning more about the 2016 Architecture Business Plan Competition, they can go to architecturebusinessplancompetition.com. Brand new site, just launched last week, so it has all kinds of information about how you could on the next, you know, submit for the next 2016 Architecture Business Plan Competition, and maybe be in the position where Jeremy is right now. He was the winner. He won $10,000 for that for that grand prize, and they are in the process of building their business and having it become what they planned it to be. So, so I invited Jeremy to join us today in order to talk about innovation. He and his partners have a very innovative idea for what they're doing with Delve Design. It's much more than an architecture firm. And I love those firms. I love when architects start thinking out of the box and not only focus on, you know, opening up a studio and providing architectural services, but so many different ways of using our talents and our skills. And Jeremy and his partners are doing just that. So, but before we get into that, I want to get into your origin story, Jeremy. I want to know where you came from and, you know, how old were you when you learned about architecture and decided that's what you wanted to do? So tell us, go sort of way back, tell us your whole journey to where you are today.
Yeah, well, I don't have like probably the most logical path to architecture. I never really grew up envisioning myself as an architect as a child, and I wasn't around it. Quite honestly, I grew up in Minnesota. My dad was on the grain elevator management side, so I was always around farming and moved to Indiana and eventually, you know, was part of my art classes at Indiana. In Indiana was kind of a gifted and talented program, allowed us to go to Chicago. And one of the things you do is the architectural tours. And for the first time, I really got to see buildings and how a city could set the environment for really a truly unique experience by the context of buildings and shaping those. And so kind of coming out of high school, I realized that I had a love for art, and I was always like this good at math. I realized I couldn't probably be an artist and figure out how to get paid. I was a little undetermined on how to do that. So I figured the good intersection of that was architecture, kind of going back to that. And I think we'll get into a little bit with Delve Design as a consistent theme of jumping in, because ironically, we moved back to Minnesota after I graduated high school, and I was enrolled in Southwest State in Minnesota and working there, and hadn't picked a major yet. And with 2 weeks before school started, I had just very clearly knew that I wanted to become an architect. I realized that, you know, I'd moved to Minnesota just based on the fact my family was back there now, and decided to go all in, to jump in. So I called my my school in Connersville High School and actually got my guidance counselor, who kind of through my grades was accepted over the phone. So basically one day got accepted into Ball State University in Muncie, quit my job, left Southwest State University and moved back to Indiana to start school. And so basically I was one of a very few that got selected into the architectural program. So I remember sitting down with the dean and telling him my story and telling him how much I was looking forward to jumping into architecture, and was accepted into the second semester and never looked back. It's been a great decision. And it's one of those ones I feel like in life you get these kind of clear ideas of what you want to do. And unless you jump in at some point and take a risk, you never really know how it's going to turn out. So I jumped in and it's a great fit.
Yeah. So how did you find your way to Delve? What
good
did you do?
Question.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Well, as far as Delve, you know, it's important to say that I'm one of four partners, and I get a talk, but I have three very talented partners that we've all worked together throughout our careers. If you look at our careers, we've had 47 years of experience combined in all for different routes. I had the unique experience of interning in New York City at HHPA. I worked in a smaller firm in Anderson, out of school, doing libraries, and then worked for a really large firm in Indianapolis, which is one of the larger firms in the Midwest, and had a very, very great experiences, learned a lot, had the idea of kind of being able to work at a smaller, mid-sized, and large firm and seeing the contrast of all three of those. Through that, obviously, one of the partners is my wife, so I've known her very well for a while. And then the other two partners I've worked with and saw the gifts and talents that they had, and we realized that, you know, with all four of us kind of combining our talents, Chris, Kara, Amanda, and I, we might just have a chance to actually create a unique architecture firm, Delve Design. So we decided to all jump in the same way, I guess, going back to this idea of jumping in. I feel like, you know, the little kid that looks over the edge of the pool and his parents are wanting them to jump in, and you're looking around, is it a good decision? And as a little kid, you're seeing other people swimming, so you know it's possible, but you're still a little bit scared. I think together we all kind of held each other's hands and jumped in and said there's no looking back. And it's been a fun experience so far, and we're swimming. Yeah. You never know if they jump in, but we're swimming right now.
I think that many entrepreneurs, whether they're architects or not, that's how they get to where they're going, get to where they are. My episode 000, my introduction episode to this podcast, I talked about what brought me to entrepreneur architect, and that's exactly what I talked. I used an analogy of jumping off a cliff into the water. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, we used to go to Lake George, New York, and I used to jump off these cliffs into this water. And the first time you do that, you're scared out of your mind. But yeah, as soon as you leap and you feel the air rushing past you and the feel of freedom as you're flying through the sky, it's an amazing feeling. And I think that's much like what entrepreneurism feels like, that it's a big, scary leap. But once you jump and you start, that momentum kicks in, it's a wild ride.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about Delve Design and why it's different.
Sure. I think, a lot of times I think everyone's firm is unique just by the people you put together. And I really believe that as a professional services industry, we all create our own unique value proposition based on who we are and our skill sets. At Delve Design, we wanted to found our firm. One of the clear differentiators I think that we wanted to do as a firm was there's two ways of looking at architecture firm and services. There's the vertical approach and horizontal. When I say vertical, I'm talking about an expertise-driven firm, and that's where we came from. I think the larger firms they become very vertical. So internally organized, that means you've got someone who specializes in healthcare and one in labs and one in higher education. And we love the idea of doing lots of different types of projects. We love the idea of, and this is a reoccurring theme of us, is stories, elevating stories through design. And for that reason, we wanted to really flip the horizontal or the vertical idea of an expertise-based firm and really say we're about the horizontal process. Really make that part of what we want to differentiate about ourselves, and doing it in a way that creates an experience from the client side. Clients, either they do a lot of projects or they do one project in a lifetime, but that experience is very, very important. So we wanted to make sure that each one of those had the chance to really bring out their best story. If it's a business or if they're doing a workplace project, we want to know why they started it. Why did they jump off the edge and into a new business and start that? And sometimes in a business, you're 15, 20 years into it and you forgot about that excitement. So you want to bring that up. You want to incite that conversation early on and really celebrate that through a very clear design process through see, synthesize, and design are the three parts that we see. And that relates back to our name, Delve. Delve, by its phonetical pronunciation, is doesn't need an E. So we're about getting rid of the extra. So D-E-L-V, Delve, means to dig into research and to understand our clients deeply. So basically we said, okay, can we elevate our clients' stories through design? But introspectively, that also meant for us, as we sat around in a table and we said, okay, kind of that gut check moment of, do we start a firm? We all wanted to make sure we had an alignment for the big picture. And the big picture for us was we have families, we have children, we have passions. We have our unique stories as individuals, but we're also realizing that as soon as we start a firm, we are starting to create a new story that is Delve Design. That is, when our employees, when we start hiring employees, that we want them to make sure that they have a unique story that they're living out. I know the last blog you had written was this integrated lifestyle. And, our firm is, it's really important that we base our firm from day one from an integrated approach, that we don't just hire an employee from 8 to 5 and we don't understand the rest of their life. We want to make sure that we're pushing each other to live out the best life that we can. So Delve is kind of invasive in the fact that we want to make sure we're living out and elevating our own stories as well. And we don't want to just clock in and clock out. One of the things we talk about is true clarity is blurry. When you're clear about what you want, you're clear about your goals, your life segments blur together. So who I am at home and who I am at work should be very consistent. Yeah. We want to be passionate and tell that story. So Delve and its heartbeat is about elevating stories through design.
So you do that with clients, you do that with your employees, you do that with yourselves. How do you do that? How is the business structured in order to accomplish that?
It's a good question. I think a lot of times for us it was, and this goes back to the business plan competition, that clarity is really important for us. And that process of going through the business plan competition, whether you're a firm that has done one or is going to do one, that process for us was really good, because when we're clear as four partners and we can tell that story consistently, internally and externally, we never are going to attract all the client types and projects that we want. It's impossible just to have only the perfect projects. But when we understand our story, what we're understanding is when we're telling about how we approach projects, whether it be real estate brokers or client-to-client type conversations, they're starting to understand what we offer. And we're starting to have a unique selling proposition that says, okay, Delve's a little bit different than other firms because of these reasons. So our design process and how we, I guess, find and seek out the right clients is about being very consistent about how the firm that we are. So I think we're seeing that come to fruition in a lot of our projects, and it's helping us when it's kind of that the first conversation that you have, if it starts there and we say we really want to have this really deep discovery side, this visioning part. When we see, before we start designing, we want to understand our client. If we're consistent in saying that, we have a pretty good accountability mechanism. So once that first project meeting happens, we want to make sure that we are truly doing a discovery meeting, that we're truly having those conversations. And it's playing out very well that way. And it's challenging us to continue to refine our design process with each project as well.
And so Delve is broken down. It's sort of the, unlike other firms, you have three parts, right? I mean, there's three different pieces that you're putting together to make Delve happen. And they're going to happen in sequence and as part of your plan. Could you explain how those three pieces, what those three pieces are and how they relate to one another?
Yeah, absolutely. So being a small firm and really embracing, I think, the challenges of a small firm, we looked at this Delve design as trying to accomplish as much as we can and starting to understand three unique areas that we felt strengthened the whole. So the first one is Delve Studio, which is your traditional architecture firm, which would be structured and is very similar. We have a process. We're doing proposals. We're doing everything that you do in a traditional architecture firm. And we're going through the same struggles and aches and pains as an architecture firm. We're wearing multiple hats. We're starting to understand, you know, how do you manage your finances? How do you do all those things? But realizing that small firms are very, we struggle from the same things. And I love your podcast and the vehicle that this podcast offers, because it gives a great voice for us to understand and listen to and learn from other small firms. So we started looking at this and said, okay, so we want to differentiate and tell our story. And one of the most important ways to do that is through technology. So we have Delve Lab. And the lab is a part of us that basically powers our architecture firm. And when I say powers, it's about designing a design ecosystem or a BIM ecosystem that allows us to have all of the things that we need for, like, day one, it's Revit. And there's plugins, there's all these different things from a technology standpoint that we need to have at our fingertips, that the Delve Lab basically helps support our firm. So we already hired Liz, who's an amazing BIM director for us. She's designing components and building up a BIM ecosystem that we basically have all these parts and pieces that play together with templates and I always reference Steve Jobs when he had on his last keynotes. He talked about the cloud is just working. He's like, when you buy this and you start to get onto this, it just works. And the problem I've seen a lot of times, when we graduate from architecture school, we get our first job. And what happens is, instead of learning architecture, instead of drawing with Rapidio graphs and T-squares, and we end up learning the software tool. We spend a lot of times with interns having them build components and spending time doing anything other than learning the systems and the important part of architecture and how buildings go together. So what we want to do is really empower designers to design. So by providing the lab, which gives us this BIM ecosystem, which has all the objects that you have in there, we don't have to spend time doing that. We can spend more time designing. So the lab basically helps power small firms through a design ecosystem.
I want to take a quick break here to say thank you to Archisnapper for their support as a platform sponsor of Entree Architect. As a platform sponsor, Archisnapper has provided funding and support for our overall mission to become an influential force in the profession of architecture. They recognize the need for small firms to build better businesses in order to be better architects. ArcaSnapper is a simple tool for creating and managing field reports. With ArcaSnapper, architects can draft reports on site using their smartphone or tablet. ArcaSnapper is easy to use and saves tons of time. Grow your business instead of struggling with field reports. If you want to learn more about ArcaSnapper and get a free 30-day trial, visit entrearchitect.com/ArcaSnapper. You created Delve Labs to support Delve Studio. So you have you have a BIM ecosystem and a system that works for Delve Studio, but you're also offering that to other small firms, right? Is that what you just said?
Correct. Yeah.
So how does that work?
Our vision, and I get really excited about this idea because it's really flipping it on its head. This idea, there's two really contrasting sides of this. You have really large firms who have lots of resources. When you go into the large firm, they have this huge BIM department. They have somebody that's looking at the future of technology. They have somebody that's creating the components. They're setting up and queuing you up to do your best. They're automating when automation is necessary. They're helping all these pieces out. As a small firm, it's very difficult to do that. So we looked at this and said, okay, if we were a small firm and had access to all the resources of a large firm, we could compete much better. We could tell our story in more compelling ways. And we said, so what if we do this, but we don't do it for our own good? We help power and give access to as many firms that want to do this as possible. So now we all share the same components. We share the same resources. So if you have a request for a component, you write it up and we create the component that goes into this shared ecosystem. And eventually the control of the product is really important because at the end of the day, you end up having these systems that all work together. So it's kind of the garbage in, garbage out kind of thing. If you start putting bad components into your model, it starts to bog down. And we've all probably downloaded things from the internet and components and realize that it looks great, but you don't necessarily need bolts and it doesn't work that right workflow. So we really want the lab to be this. We see it being, there's 20 some thousand firms in our country. There's many in the world. We see this very, very powerful BIM ecosystem that we can tap into and share to help us design. And we're helping create that and give access to. We've already started working with some local firms and continue to look at the needs and to continue to support that and grow that within Delve Lab.
Right. And so, I mean, Delve is a startup. The whole idea is a startup. You launched last year or the year before that?
Yep. End of 2014. So basically December and starting out early 2015.
Right. So the whole idea is a very new idea and you're just implementing it now. So Delve Studios is up and running. Delve Labs is in its infancy, but it's developing. It's not open yet to the public, right? Delve Labs?
Yeah, looking for a select group of basically 10 firms. We've got two that we're working with right now. We're looking for probably another 8 to 10 to start to gain access to some of these tools, to start to understand the workflow of what works and what doesn't. So the minimally viable product is kind of in its working right now. But at the end of the day, the heart of this thing is making us all better. And we're not going to be able to do that until we start having firms that say, okay, we're either in the adoption stage or the implementation stage. We're trying to move people along that spectrum. We want to understand every barrier and obstacle that they might come across that we can help support. We also we're kind of holding a partnership with other things because we're not going to service everything. We see teaching BIM as being supported by other agencies, but we're going to help create the ecosystem. So, it's running right now at a small level, kind of the
beta
testing
beta
stage.
Version. Yeah,
exactly. So we will have official launch in 2016, but definitely partnerships this year. Towards the end of the year, we're looking for at least 10 firms to partner with.
If there are people who are listening who would be interested in talking to you about this, how could they contact you?
Yeah, I'll share my email address, and then we're going to have a website up for Delve Labs very soon. That'll be just kind of more of a page to help developing the back end tool of connecting and dispersing the ecosystem.
Okay. So if anybody's interested, we'll have the email address posted on the show notes. Does that work for you, Jeremy?
Absolutely, yeah. And I can say it too. It's right now, we can have a post as well. It's just Jeremy at Delve Design. So Jeremy at Delve Design, DELVdesign.com.
Okay. So if anybody out there is interested in sort of doing some testing and trials and errors and with sort of the beta version of Delve Labs, give Jeremy a ping at his email address, and maybe you can help him develop it and be some of the founding members of Delve Labs. So that would be cool. So what's the third part?
Yeah, so the last part is ideation venue. So one of the things we want to make sure we do is disrupt the status quo. And you mentioned innovation at the very beginning. And we hope that each one of these ideas has innovation at its heart, that we're continuing to evolve and innovate. Innovation kind of comes across in different ways. The ideation venue is all about that. So we realize that if we're talking about the C part of our design process, we want to bring people out of their context to help them disrupt what they've been doing, to help get them away and give them enough space and time to be very creative, to look at the design problem or whatever problem they're working on in a unique environment. So this ideation venue is one that we see large companies in our area, or there's Fortune 500 companies that often do offsites. They'll fly to a specific area, they'll come into an area, and this idea that steel conference rooms don't necessarily give the best ideas, that rather if we have a space that we can bring these people into, and it's all about this experience of ideation, which could have, it's going to have multiple different areas. It's one that we see as kind of it would lease out the space and allow people to come in for a day. We could help facilitate that, or they can bring their own facilitation people to help run that. But we want to create this very unique space. And it's different than co-working. It's a different model than co-working. It's definitely this disruptive ideation space.
So it's a space that will be designed to be unique and encourage creativity and innovation and ideation, right? I mean, that's the idea from a design point of view. And then people can, you know, these firms or these companies could come in, do these retreats or small conferences. You may be able to develop workshops and creativity workshops that people can come in, and you know, these companies can come in. They could hire you to not only take the space, but to actually teach them how to be creative, because that's something that many people don't really understand. You know, how to even start. You know, where do you even start to ideate? I think that's a great idea. Do you imagine that once that is up and running and working as a prototype with your firm, do you imagine that you would expand it beyond the one venue?
I think that would be worth exploring. You look at the co-working spaces and how they've been able to really infiltrate and become very it's a working model that works very, very well. And I think that, you know, the next big hurdle that we have, you know, as people continue to evolve and innovate as companies and organizations, it's very hard to stay on top of things. It's very hard to continue to create these moments where you have the big idea, where you have the clarity to run your organization for the next quarter, the next, you know, month or year, whatever that is. So we believe it's extremely important, and that it deserves to be in multiple locations. And the model, and, you know, kind of comes back to, we design spaces and we become architects because we believe space matters. And we don't see this type of space being offered in large cities. So we want to make sure that we create this environment and this experience. And yeah, we'd love to plug it in different areas. And it's one of those things we'll have to, of all the three, the ideation venue is kind of the last to come to fruition for us right now as we're launching the lab. Amanda's really heading up the venue. So we'll have to, I see us pivoting. I see us kind of working through that. We've had some interest here locally in Indianapolis, which has a growing tech scene. It's been great to see some of the Salesforce coming here and some great companies. We definitely see experimenting and letting this thing grow organically over time.
Yeah, I love the idea of the venue. I think that it could grow beyond just the venue, that if you had some sort of workshop or some sort of education, you know, design education that sort of was an option that people could come in and be taught design, design, taught design and creativity and all of the things that people sort of look at architects in awe that, my goodness, they're these creative people, that we can teach other people how to think that way, how to be more creative. My kids, I just came back a few weeks ago from my vacation up at the St. Lawrence River in upstate New York. And while we're up there, there's a program that the local art center puts on. It's actually run by Ann Taylor. It's called Architecture and Children. And you can go to architectureandchildren.com to learn more about it. It's what she's done is she's developed a design program that teaches children or inspires children, really pulls out those creativity, the natural creativity and the creative tendencies of children, and teaches them how to structure it, how to apply it to their everyday life. And so I could imagine that Delve, what would you call it? Is there a name?
Well, for Hatch. Today it's Hatch.
Hatch, okay. So I can imagine that Hatch could provide those types of educational services as well to the general public, maybe even to children, that they could come in, and do summer camps and birthday parties and all these different ideas on how to get what we know as architects out to the world and share what we know with other architects and with other corporations, but also with the world at large, and teach them how to do what we do. It would be so cool.
That's great.
Yeah. So those are the three pieces. You have Delve Studio, Delve Labs, and Hatch, the ideation venue. I love it. I love the idea. I love the creativity and the innovation. Certainly the idea and thinking out of the box and the plan itself was very developed and very well thought out, which is why you were the winner of the competition. So, what do you think is your next step in what you're doing now? Where are you going from where you are today? What's sort of the thing you're working on?
Yeah, well, for us, having four partners that are unique, we've really started to look at who kind of owns, even though we're all working within the studio, we're starting to really make strides in the lab this year. So next steps really is getting that. Liz is doing an amazing job already starting to create the BIM ecosystem. Really kind of going through that validation and creating that tool and starting to share that in 2016 is very important to us. I think the big thing for us is continue to focus and create our kind of the hedgehog effect, if you will, making sure that each one of these has a person that is waking up and thinking about it, that they're the one that's carrying the banner for that. Although we're doing it collaboratively, that each one of these has a focus and enough momentum to kind of push it into 2016 with enough to really be a game-changing and viable option for us. We think that all three of these are so important. We're excited because all these things actually happen within small firms. We're just trying to amplify it in some way. We're trying to give some, I guess, clarity and some mass to each one of these that we think will continue to grow. I think we're excited to see where 2016 brings us. And so far, we're staying pretty close to the business plan. And again, that clarity it's kind of neat when you're looking at 2017 and you're looking at your staffing and your projections and saying, okay, maybe we overhired in 2016. And it's all theoretical.
Yeah,
so
right.
It gives us, even though everything's in theory, it gives us a chance to, I guess the same way you hear great athletes and how they envision themselves hitting the ball, they picture it. And I think the business plan for us is we're continuing to hold on to this vision that we feel will be disruptive. And we feel that when you have multiple architects and architecture firms that are saying, this would be a great to have this feature, that things grow. It's a great community to be involved with. The profession in general is one that I think we need to continue to create atmospheres and companies that get the best talent. And I think right now the struggle that we've got in 2016 and go forward to 2020 is we have more tech startups. We have more people that are launching into programming in that space. And it's pulling a lot of the talent. So what I love to see, and I love to see the architectural business plan competition do, is, again, almost take a defibrillator to an industry that has so much potential and so much talent. Bring that mentality to us, because we are inventors, we are creators, we're going to bring that to that. So what I see as Delve Design Studio is, you know, I look for us as a community to keep each other accountable. How are we doing this in our own practices? So in 2016, I look forward to letting you know where we're at. Obviously, staying in touch and jumping into this ideas, entrepreneurialism within our firms.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch where you go. And as you progress, I'd love to have you come back and sort of tell us what worked and tell us what didn't work. Because the business plans are developed to sort of get you to where you want to go, but sometimes where you want to go changes, it shifts. And so, you know, typically your vision and your mission pretty much stay consistent, but very often your goals and your actions sort of adjust and they evolve as you learn and you try and things don't work, and you try and things do work, and it, you know, they sometimes you pivot. And so all of those things sort of get you to ultimately where you should be. And so it'll be very interesting to watch Delve Design and see how these three pieces come together and be a model potentially for other firms to emulate, to see your success and to see how it works, to see that architecture can be more than just sitting behind a computer drafting all day and creating, even just creating buildings. It can be more than creating buildings. And so it's exciting to see Delve Design. So I appreciate you coming here and sharing your plans and sharing what you're doing today. That's very exciting, and I appreciate you doing that. Your world on the internet again is delvedesign.com. On Twitter, you're active on Twitter, Jeremy Wailu, at Jeremy Wailu. Any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
I don't know. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on here, obviously. And, you know, obviously I'm one of four partners who could have, I'm sure, talked about this in great detail as well. But I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I look forward to continuing to listen to the podcast and what the community that you continue to build. It's exciting to see. And I would definitely plug the Architectural Business Plan competition. It was great for us. It was a moment that gave us a chance to be in some really great competition to see what other small firms and other firms in the country are doing. And all we had to do is sign up. And it's like you take one small step at a time. And we kept on, we submitted it, and we're like, okay, let's do the next step. And we did that. And before you know it, it really was a beneficial process to us. And I can't stress the accountability part enough. I think at the end of the day, being out there and sharing your vision with other people, and it builds a community of accountability that we look forward to being a part of from this day forward.
Yeah, that's exciting. So Jeremy, thank you very much for your dedication to the profession and sharing your knowledge here today at the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
If you would like to leave a review for this show on iTunes, please go to entrearchitect.com/iTunes. Or if you find yourself in iTunes, just search for Entrepreneur Architect and you'll find us there. But even more important to me than that review is that you share this episode with a friend. I say this every episode. That's all that matters. We're growing here at Entre Architect, and it's only happening because of you. It's only happening because you're sharing this episode, entrearchitect.com/episode90. Yes, 90, only 10 more to 100. It's getting close. It only happens, that spreading of the word happens when you share it with a friend. When you email that link, entrearchitect.com/episode90, to your friends, to share them on the tweet, on Twitter, and put it on Facebook. Tell everybody you know, because that's how it works. I appreciate it. I appreciate your support for what I'm doing, and I thank you for spreading the word. Complete show notes and a direct link for this episode may be found at entrearchitect.com/episode90. And just a reminder, if you're interested in learning more about Archisnapper, visit entrearchitect.com/archisnapper. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect, and I think you are too. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with Detailed, an original podcast by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.
Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.